engaging so that you guys don't fall asleep. It's so early in the morning. But okay, so this is the title of my talk, and I have no relationships to disclose. So, you know, we focused on HPV as a key area in ethnic health disparities research. We know that HPV is a sexually transmitted disease that precedes cervical cancer, and cervical cancer is characterized by severe disparities. Estimates suggest that 250,000 women die of cervical cancer worldwide each year. Estimates indicate that approximately 4,000 women will die in the U.S. alone. And estimates of incidence suggest that there's a twofold increase in Mexican-American women and fourfold in African-American women. HPV is the most common sexually transmitted disease. We know there are over 100 types, and in particular, two types, 16 and 18, are responsible for 70% of cervical cancer cases. One out of two women will get HPV at one point in their lives. The estimated prevalence rate in sexually active women ages 14 to 19 is as high as 40%. There's no cure or treatment for HPV. So in 2006, the FDA licensed a vaccine that protects against types responsible for 70% of cervical cancer cases, and it also protects against the two types responsible for 90% of genital wart cases, which are types 6 and 11. The vaccine is recommended in a three-dose series given in 6 months, although recent research suggests that two doses might be sufficient. The CDC recommends the vaccine for 11 and 12-year-old girls. Vaccination can start as young as 9. The key point here is that the vaccine be given before the onset of sexual intercourse to maximize the protection of vaccination of the vaccine, since it is fairly common. What has happened, unfortunately, there are suboptimal vaccination rates. Approximately 44% of adolescent girls between the ages of 13 and 17 have received at least one dose of the vaccine. And cost-effectiveness studies indicate that this is well below the greater than 70% coverage needed to obtain population-level benefits. So in terms of behavioral research, we know that behavioral research has centered on certain theories, such as the theory of planned behavior. This theory suggests that the perceived consequences of vaccination or perceived consequences of acquiring HPV predict attitudes and intentions to vaccinate. In addition, the weight assigned to what significant others think about vaccination also should predict, and the perception of whether vaccination is under one's control should also predict. Research, in fact, has corroborated this. Perceived consequences of HPV vaccination, such as safety and effectiveness, predict intentions and attitudes, and recommendation by significant others also predict. So we know that, unfortunately, a cloud of controversy, like our moderator said, has clouded it's essentially HPV vaccination is considered a controversial issue. And our study actually, our team, we were thinking about how is it that this controversy might affect the way that we perceive vaccination. And currently we know that the controversy it's been substantial, and it has definitely influenced perceived safety and effectiveness of the vaccines, such that uncertainty currently exists. So we wanted to study the role of affect on attitudes and intentions. And we took this particular theoretical framework, the affect heuristic. This particular framework guided our study. And the affect heuristic is a framework developed to understand the direct effect that feelings, emotions play in the decision to adopt behaviors that entail uncertainty. And a central finding using this particular theoretical framework is that the pros and cons, weighing pros and cons of the consequences of a behavior, is really not optimal when the outcomes of a particular behavior trigger strong affective reactions. So we wanted to study whether affect plays a role. purpose to understand the influence of attributes of the vaccine or consequences of vaccination and vaccination barriers on affect and the subsequent influence of affect on an overall evaluation of the vaccine and intentions to obtain the vaccine. Now I'm going to go into methods. Our participants were 150 mothers, equally divided in three ethnic groups. The eligibility criteria was to be a parent or legal guardian of a daughter who had not received the HPV vaccine. We recruited our mothers from health department clinics in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and our mothers were participants of the federal program Women, Infant, and Children. The mean age of our mothers was 33.72 years. They reported to have a mean number of children of 3.38, and the mean age of daughters that they reported was 10.94. So let me show you quickly in terms of demographic differences between our groups. When we compared regarding insurance status, we see that our Hispanic mothers were more likely to be uninsured. The same, our Hispanic mothers were more likely to have high school education only compared to the other two groups. And in terms of employment status, we didn't find any differences at the time of the study. So now let me explain to you a little bit how the study took place. We administered a brochure with CDC information written at a seventh grade level. And the brochure included information about the link of HPV and cervical cancer. It provided information about the vaccine, including risks and benefits, cost, and the number of doses that are required. Mothers afterwards were asked to answer a survey, and the survey contained questions assessing the theory of planned behavior tenets. And in addition, we asked to mothers to convey the feelings that they were experiencing as a result of this information. And we assessed positive and negative affect. Positive affect was peace of mind, reassurance. Negative affect was worry and fear. So, and this is the reverse of the brochure. We also provided information. So before I go into this, let me tell you that approximately 30% of our participants decided to read the brochure on their own. The rest, we read the brochure to them and then allowed them to have some time to process the information. In addition, the same with answering the survey. So of course, I cannot rule out social desirability effects, but this is the way we did it. So I apologize that this is not clear or you cannot see it, but essentially we wanted to test this model, and the paths that we drew from each of the constructs were guided by variant correlations that we computed before, and significant correlations at the 0.10 level were retained for the model. I want to say right at the onset that this model is exploratory, and future research should definitely be conducted to understand the specific role of affect. But if you look at here, we asked about perceptions of vaccine effectiveness. So after receiving the information, how effective do you think is the vaccine? And responses were liquor type. How serious do you think are the potential side effects? How afraid is your daughter of needle shots? How likely is your daughter to engage in early sexual relations after vaccination? How costly do you think is the vaccine? And we asked for an estimate of the number of daughters of friends who had received the vaccine to assess norms. Then we asked, after reading this information, how worried do you feel, again, on a Likert type scale? How much fear do you feel? How much peace of mind? How much reassurance? Attitude, we asked, how do you evaluate this vaccine? In a Likert type scale, very negatively to very positively. Then we asked intentions. Our intentions measure was composed of five items, the extent to which you intend to vaccinate, the intent to which would you convince your daughter if she objects, would you convince a significant other if he or she objects, and would you talk to a pediatrician about it. Our intention scale had a Cronbach alpha of 0.90. So now let me show you, we conducted subgroup analysis because our model, once again, is exploratory, and we wanted to see whether our model would differ between our cultural groups. So for my non-Hispanic white mothers, we saw that perceptions of vaccine effectiveness and predicted positive affect, peace of mind, and reassurance. Perception of risk compensation predicted worry and fear. However, only reassurance was related to attitude and attitude subsequently predicted intention. Something interesting that we saw is that seldom do models that test the theory of planned behavior theory look at how consequences or barriers are interrelated. And in this case, we find that the estimate of the number of daughters in the community that have been vaccinated predicts perceptions of vaccine side effects, and perceptions of cost predicts perceptions of effectiveness. So these are related. When we look at our Hispanic mothers, we see that risk compensation predicted fear, however, only reassurance predicted attitude, and norms once again related to perceived side effects of vaccination. When we look at our African American mothers, we see a more complex picture emerging. Here we see effectiveness predicting peace of mind, risk compensation predicting worry, and all of these feelings of emotions were significantly related to attitude. However, worry, we thought that might be negatively related to a positive evaluation of the vaccine, but it wasn't. So it's positively related. None of the attributes or consequences predicted fear. So at this point, we don't know what piece of information triggered this feeling. However, it was related to attitude. So conclusions and implications. Previous research has paid little attention to the role of affect, focusing primarily on the direct influence of vaccine attributes, consequences of vaccination, and barriers on attitudes. And immediate affective reactions to information play a key role in decisions that entail uncertainty. So definitely one of our recommendations is to look more closely at these affective reactions. And maybe once we figure it out, we can definitely target information campaigns that will facilitate positive emotions and therefore promote vaccination. Thank you very much.